So we're continuing, y'all, our sermon series. This is the final sermon in this series, the DIY Challenge, the DIY Challenge. As we said in previous weeks, we've talked about this acronym, DIY. We know what that stands for, do it yourself. A whole lot of folk undertake DIY projects, where they're renovating their houses, doing, you know, all this big stuff, you know. We live in a self-help world, too. We do self-help. We do stuff on our own. We DIY it, or we self-help. We don't use professionals. We try to get it done on our own. Here's something I know. When it comes to salvation, you cannot DIY your salvation. That we are saved by grace through faith because of our belief in Jesus Christ. But at the same time, I believe that as saved folk, as believers, there are some things that God wants us to initiate on our own as believers, that you don't have to wait on anybody else, that you can do it yourself. When it comes to prayer, you can pray yourself. When it comes to the study of the Word of God, you need more than just a Sunday sermon. You need to open up your Bible through the week. Open up the Word of God to hear what God wants to say to you. Hear what God wants to say. I have to do it myself. You have to do it yourself. Listen, sister, when it comes to praise and worship, I don't need anybody to praise for me. I can praise all by myself. I don't need anybody else in the room. I don't need any music. I can worship God all by myself. I can do it by myself, y'all. I'm glad when we can do it corporately as a body, but I need to do it myself. So in the past few weeks, y'all, we've had some challenges. We presented some challenges as it relates to DIY. And the first one was loving yourself. Look at Mark chapter 12. The Jesus said, you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. And then love your neighbor, what? And he implies you ought to love yourself. But we don't love ourselves, y'all, in some arrogant, prideful kind of way. We love ourselves in the right way. We love ourselves the way God loves us. Do you love yourself the way God loves you? We also talked about examining yourself, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Examine yourselves to see if you are in or of the faith. We're to examine ourselves to see if our faith is genuine, if it is real. What faith? The faith that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But also faith in terms of the totality of what you believe about God, what you believe about Jesus, what you believe about these scriptures. That is your spiritual health intact. So we're going to finish this thing up today, this third lesson, y'all. This DIY. There are certain areas of our lives where our spiritual lives can improve, where we can improve as children of God, things that we have to initiate, always knowing that God is always, always our help. So, y'all, it was Halloween. I was 9 years old, about 9 years old, and I was allowed to go trick or treating. I know some of y'all say, look, That's devilish, you can't do that, but my parents allowed us children to go trick or treating. Y'all, and so some of y'all shaking out, no, that wasn't allowed in my house. That wasn't allowed in my house. We couldn't do it. But we did it. My mom and dad let us go do it, y'all. And we didn't have no chaperones. Back in the day, listen, you could go 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 blocks away from the house, y'all. Didn't worry about anything. Now you go 500 feet away, this is where you can't go nowhere. And so we didn't have any chaperones. I had about 3 or 4 friends. We went out, y'all. We went trick or treating in Memphis, Tennessee, y'all. We went 6, 7 blocks down from the house, y'all. Y'all, I had a bag full of candy, y'all. It was, y'all, I had now and later. I had Chico sticks, y'all. I had Tootsie Rolls. I had Tootsie Roll Pops, y'all. Bag full of candy. Brown paper bag. Brown. We didn't buy no bags. When it came to costumes, too, y'all, we didn't have money to buy no costumes. You took some old ripped up jeans and a t-shirt. You wrote B-O-O on the boo. You got some of mama's makeup, that powder makeup. I don't know if still make that. Your powder, the powder to put it on your face so you can look like a ghost or something. Put a sheet on or something, an old ripped up sheet. That's what we did. So here we are walking, y'all. I got my candy. All of a sudden, there's a shadow that comes from the back of it. It's at night, but I see the shadow. But I'm a few feet behind my friends. they glance out of their eye, and they immediately start to run. Y'all, before I could run, there were four boys older than us from some other neighborhood, didn't know who they were, that jumped me, y'all. There I was struggling to keep my candy, to hold on to my back. Y'all, I was outsized, I was outnumbered, they beat me down. Y'all, it was like a lion on a gazelle, y'all. It was awful, y'all. They got me, y'all. Snatched the candy out of my hand and ran off into the night. Friends gone, there I was laying on the ground. No candy, no now and laters, no Chico sticks, y'all. It was all gone, y'all. They took my candy. Yeah, I remember that. It's humorous to me today. But for a 9-year boy, there was no humor in that situation. I remember it because it was a significant moment of discouragement for a 9-year-old boy. Last I checked, we all deal with a thing called discouragement. And even when you think about the word discouragement, it presupposes that perhaps you had courage, but your courage is now disrobed because of something that happened to you in your life. That we all get discouraged. Even a king by the name of David found himself at a point of deep despair and encouragement. So what did David do? So turn with me in your Bibles, y'all, to 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. Again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It reads thus. 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into Negev at Ziklag. They crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. They had carried off the women and children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. David's two wives, Ahinoam from Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel, were among those captured. David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him. But David found strength, the Lord his God. Under the King James rendition, it says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Encourage our hearts this morning from encouraging yourself in discouraging times. Encouraging yourself, Brother Jeffrey, in discouraging times. Encouraging yourself in discouraging times. Again, I know that we all get discouraged at some point in life, but here's the reality. That some people stay discouraged much, much too long. That there are people of God, children of God, that stay in a perpetual state of discouragement. That something happens in their lives, some tragedy, some bad thing, and they get knocked down in life, but it seems that they cannot get back up. They get beat down, but they cannot get back up for some reason. But sometimes I found out you got to encourage yourself. That discouragement is not the absence of inadequacy or ability. That God gives us innate ability to do things, to be adequate, but we fail to release and to be all that God wants us to be because we are discouraged from time to time. I found out that discouragement, it can zap all the strength that you got. And sometimes you don't feel like getting back up. So the question for us this morning is, how can we find encouragement in discouraging times? And so today we use King David as our model for this morning. From this scripture passage and this surrounding story, it's a wonderful story. I encourage you to read it. Go back to chapter 27, go all the way through chapter 30. It's a wonderful story. It's one of those, for me, it's one of those made for television and movie kind of stories. But David, this man after God's own heart, this king, this man mighty in battle, found himself at a point of discouragement. Maybe there's someone here today right now and you can admit that you feel knocked down, you feel knocked out, you feel left out, and maybe you feel discouraged this morning. So I want to point out a few lessons, a few points that we can learn from David and his life, from his experience with discouragement. First thing is this. I want us to see David's disaster. So 1 Samuel, we read that David has some 600 mighty men of valor, some men of war, but they flee from King Saul of Israel. Bible readers, you know that King Saul did not like David. That David was to replace him as the king of Israel. That Saul killed his thousands, but David killed tens of thousands. Saul became jealous of David and sought his life. So he hit his men. They book up, y'all. They go to Palestinian territory. And they find this king by the name of Achish of Gath. And so they join hands. They combine with Achish of Gath and the Philistines, y'all, Bible readers, y'all know the Philistines, they are the enemy of the Israelites. Man, but this story is a trip to me. How can you find more comfort surrounded by enemies? Folk that don't talk about your God, don't know your God, but you find more comfort with them than you do with your own folk. That here David is, his 600 men, they find comfort amongst the Philistines. And so David and his army, they fight, they win battles, y'all, against these different folk, the Gerishites, the Gerizzites, the Amalekites, all of the ice, and they looted, they took stuff from them, y'all, and they brought it back to Achish. And so David gains the trust of King Achish. He gains the trust of the king of the Philistines. So much so that the king wanted him to join forces with him to go and fight the Israelites. I hope y'all tracking me on this now. That David, who was to be the king of the Israelites, God's next man is to go to fight against his own people. Man, it's a bad thing when you have to fight against your own people, to fight against people that you love the most. And so he's put in this position to do this. I still believe God had something up, because when you read the story, we know what happened in the story. So life was really good for David. It was good for his men for about a year and 4 months. And so as they're getting ready to go to fight against the Israelites, the Philistines, they form their army. David and his 600 men, they're lagging behind. They're with them, and they're going to go into battle, y'all. Some of the leaders from the Philistines said, no, hold up, wait a minute. David is an Israelite. We heard about this dude, that this is the tough dude. This is the man of war. And he's going to be on our side when we go to fight his people. What's wrong with this picture, y'all? And so the king said, David, man, I love you, man. You've been my right-hand man, but I got to let you go. So y'all need to go on back home to Ziklag, and we'll catch up with y'all later. And so Achish sent David and his men back to Ziklag. In chapter 30, y'all, they get there, and we pick up in the text that disaster strikes David and his warriors. They left their families behind. Catch the picture. They out there fighting, y'all. They out there winning battles. David and the 600, they winning battles, y'all. They looting. They went. They doing some stuff. They get back home, and home is tore up. Home is burnt down. Isn't it interesting, y'all? We can be engaged in ministry, doing a whole lot of stuff at the church, around the church, but how home is tore up. They get back, and home is burnt to the ground, y'all. The Amalekites attacked them. They raided the Negev at Ziklag. They attacked Ziklag, burned it to the ground, took the women, took the children, took everything, but they did not kill them. They carried them off. So again, when David and his men reached Ziklag, y'all, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 says, "For he, God, gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. He sends rain, y'all, on the just as well as the unjust." It's easy for us to assume, y'all, that because we're saved, we're sanctified, we're filled with the Spirit of God, that everything ought to go well in our lives. It's quite the contrary. Some of y'all got up this morning like I did, and you looked over at your neighbor and said, he's still asleep at the house. You on your way to church. Some folk, y'all, they saved and they sanctified, and they still lose their job. But the person that doesn't know God, listen, they are thriving in life. In every little life, a little rain must fall. That disaster or tragedy or problems, y'all, they come all of our way. In general, yes, God does rain down his blessings upon all people, but don't be mistaken. For God's people, he has something better in store for us, and we'll see it in the life of David. But again, we learned that life can be uncertain. And here it is with David, that he's enjoying success and victories. All the time, disaster is happening in the life of David. I wonder if somebody here today, maybe you feel that way, that you've had some major successes in your life. Things have been going well, but all of a sudden, trouble will find you. The trouble shows up at your door. That tragedy strikes your house. I remember years ago, y'all, when we were 17, 15 grandstand. Y'all, we were in this industrial park, and today I'm still amazed, Sister LaTanya, how we thrived as a church, only by the hand of God. In this industrial park where everything else was shutting down, wasn't a whole lot of folk back there, but God was growing us as a ministry. Y'all, then COVID, COVID-19 struck, y'all. In my mind today, that was a disaster. None of us saw it coming. All of a sudden, y'all, we wearing masks and stuff, people coughing, we looking at them sideways, and that it was bad. It was showing up bad. My southern vernacular. But God was still in control then. Just as God was still in control in the life of David. Just as God is in control of your life right now, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're going through, God is in control. So we see David's disaster. The next thing I want us to see is David's discouragement. So there's shouts of victory, but they turned into tears of sorrow. David and his men wept aloud until they could weep no more. Anybody ever been there? You cried so much, like your tear ducts just dried up. Nothing else could come out. All you could do, but nothing's coming out of your eyes. It's that bad. And it says they had no strength. They wept until they had no strength, verse 4. These are strong men. These are men of valor. These are men of war. Let me talk to the men parenthetically right here real quick. If David's men of war could shed tears, if they could cry, we can too. That many of us are brought up that men don't cry. A strong man does not. You can cry. That God gave us emotions, y'all. That God made us in the imago Dei. He made us in his image. There's some things about us that are like God, that God gave us emotions. We ought to express those emotions even when we're sad. That crying relieves the pain in the heart. So express these qualities that we see even in God. Let me ask you, men, when was the last time you had a good cry? It's okay to be honest in expressing how you feel about a situation, how you feel about a thing. You think about David, y'all. You look at what David says throughout the Psalms. Psalm 22 and 1, he says this, my God, why have you forsaken me? Also quoted by Jesus in the New Testament. Psalm 74 and 1, oh God, why have you rejected us forever? Why does your anger smolder against the sheep of your pasture? And even though David expressed his pain and how he really felt before God, David's love for God never diminished. But God's love for David never diminished either. Y'all, we can have some honest conversations with God. It's okay. He already knows. He understands. And God will answer us in his time. So have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your struggles and your problems. And I believe that in the Bible, God will answer when he's ready to answer you in due season. But talk to God. Y'all, but David's men, y'all, listen, y'all know, they got so upset that these mighty men of valor, of strength, they fought battles. They turned on David. They looked around and everything was burned down. The houses were gone. Their wives were gone. Their children were gone. The livestock was gone. All of their stuff was gone. They had to point the finger at somebody. So who do they point the finger at David. David, this is your fault. They wanted to kill David. Isn't it amazing, y'all, that the people that are closest to us, the people that say they love us, the people that celebrate us, can be the same people that will turn around and want to take us down. The same people that applaud you and say, go, Pastor, go. We love you, we love you. The same people that applaud you and speak well of you are the same people that are on the phone in the back room stabbing you in the back. It's amazing. We got to blame somebody. It's human nature. We got to put our mouth on somebody. But it should not be so amongst God's people. They wanted to literally kill David. David had his own issues to deal with already, y'all. That David's wives were taken. That here he is, the leader of Judah, these 600 men, these people, and now this destruction, y'all, this disaster. So he had to deal with his own pain. And then the pain of his own people wanting to kill him. How low can you go? How bad can it get? It got real bad for David, and maybe it's real bad for somebody today. But enough was enough. What would David do in this moment? How do you get back up in rejection and abandonment, loss and grief and heartache? What did David do? The text lets us know what David did. The story lets us know. We see David's decision. The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Verse 6b. David, he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I love that expression. This is the most important part of the story in my mind. Where do you turn when you are discouraged? Where do you turn when you need encouragement? Do you turn to a bottle? Do you turn to a drink? Do you turn to pills to strengthen you? Do you turn to relationships that are not for you to strengthen you and to prop you up and to pick you up? Where do you turn when you need to be encouraged and to be strengthened? David certainly he couldn't turn to his own men. They wanted to kill him. Sometimes in life, y'all, we find ourselves in a place where we're looking to be strengthened and encouragement, and for whatever reason, that the wife can't do it. It's just you're dealing with some stuff, and they don't do it. The children can't do it for you. The church pastor can't do it for you. Friends can't do it for you. They cannot encourage you. You get discouraged. So where do you turn to get encouragement? I want to let you know this morning, the greatest place you can turn to God. The one who can encourage you in any situation, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you did, you can turn to the Lord your God. He's the one that can always encourage you and me. David decided that he had enough with grief and sadness. He encouraged himself, emphasis, in the Lord. At times, y'all, we come to this place. We have to come to this place where we've been discouraged too long. We've been down too long. We stayed down too long. We need to get up from where we are. And sometimes it will require you and me encouraging ourselves in the Lord. So I want you to know something. If we stay in this perpetual place of discouragement, and hear me today, maybe you're there. If we keep dwelling on the past, dwelling on the disaster, dwelling on the storm, we'll never find our place, a place where we are strengthened. And God wants you to be strengthened today. He wants me to be strengthened. That God has a purpose and a plan for your life, but you cannot stay. Do not stay discouraged. Don't stay down. Find your strength, but find your strength in the Lord. And so, y'all, we aren't giving all of the details about exactly how David encouraged himself in the Lord. But any of us know anything about the life of David, listen, we can gather some things. And so some things that can help us to gain courage in the midst of discouragement as we look at the life of David. Number one, this thing, remember God's faithfulness in the past. You got to remember what God did for you in the past. You got to remember what God brought you out of. Remember how God delivered you. Remember how God made a way out of no way. Listen, you have to remember God's faithfulness in the past and apply it to your current circumstances. David, y'all, David was a boy out there tending to sheep. Lions and bears would come up. And by the strength and the might and the power of God, David would defeat the lion. He would defeat the bear. That David had to face a giant by the name of Goliath. By the power of God, he defeated the Goliath in his life. David had to remember God's faithfulness in the past. I believe he did. That he thought about what God had bought him through, how God delivered him, how God kept him. Remember God's faithfulness in the past. Not only that, focus on who our God is. Focus on who your God. Do you not know who your God is? David focused on his God, personal relationship, his God, not just the God of mama and grandmama and them, but his God, his Lord, his Savior. Our God is almighty, y'all. Our God is omnipotent. Our God is all powerful. Our God is omniscient. He knows everything about everything. Our God is omnipresent. That he's Jehovah Shalom, he is our peace. That he's Jehovah Jireh, he is our provider. He's Jehovah Rapha, he is our healer. He's Jehovah Shalom, that he's always there. God is faithful. Focus on who your God is. Do you know who your God who is? Do you know the God that you serve? There's other thing that we know about David, any Bible reader, that David was a praise and worship leader. That David was a mighty musician. Yeah, he was a warrior, But David was he played that instrument, y'all. And so David was a man of praise and worship. I believe as David encouraged himself in the Lord, I can see David right now. You think about David in Psalm 34 when he acted like he was crazy before another Philistine king. That he feigned like he was crazy. He pretended like he was crazy. In Psalm 34:1, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continuously be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. That sometimes, y'all, listen, you have to praise and worship by yourself. You don't have to be a church. You can have praise service all by yourself. You can have praise service while driving down the road in your car. You can worship God in your cubicle at the office. That you can have praise and worship at home. It doesn't have to be a church. That David was a man of praise and worship. Another thing is this. Sometimes you talk to yourself to put hope in God. Talk to yourself to put hope in God. Psalm 42:5-11, Psalm 43:5. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Y'all, this stanza is repeated three times in these two chapters in Psalms. Some believe it was composed by David himself. But sometimes, y'all, we need to talk to ourselves. And as you're talking to yourself, speak the word of God in your circumstance. Speak the word of God in your situation. Speak the very promises of God over your situation. Talk to yourself. If necessary, get yourself a song. What's your song? I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. What's your amazing grace? How sweet. Get you a song in your heart. Sing your song of praise. Talk to God. And watch what God does in you. I found out something. Even though situations don't change automatically, I believe that praise and worship will change you. It'll change you on the inside. You can still be in the storm, but still you can still stand. Because you know you got God in you and God for you. Also this. Seek God's face and guidance in prayer. David must have spent time in God's presence and prayed. I think he probably prayed a prayer like Psalm 18:6. But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him, it reached his ears. That David knew that God would deliver him. The scriptures say that David was in great danger. You go to verses 7 and 8, y'all, he gets this thing called the ephod. It's this garment that they would wear at the time, this garment, this robe, and it had like a breastplate across. It had jewels in it. And so it was their way of seeking God in prayer. It's about that David sought God, that he prayed to God. He asked God, God, what should I do in this situation? What's the result of that prayer? The Lord said, you will surely recover everything that was taken from you. David experienced a disaster that led to discouragement. David made the decision to encourage himself in the Lord. Finally, y'all, we see David's deliverance. The rest of 1 Samuel chapter 30. Again, I encourage you to read the story for yourself. It's a great story. It records the story of how David recovered all that was lost. That David encouraged himself in the Lord. David and his men left out to attack the Amalekites and rescue their family. Some 600 men, y'all, went out to fight against the Amalekites. 200 of them got tired. So David is left now with 400 men to go up against this mighty army. But they found this group of men, y'all, at Ziklag. And the men, y'all, they were partying. The Philistines, y'all, they thought about all the stuff they had stolen, how they had captured the folk at Ziklag. Y'all, that they had a party going on. They said they were drinking and they were eating, y'all. They were partying. It wasn't a Holy Ghost party. It was one of them kind of wild parties. But David and his men pounced on them, y'all. That these 400 men beat up all of this army, y'all. All but 400 of them escaped on camels. David went from discouragement, y'all, to deliverance because he decided to pull off the robe of discouragement. I'm talking to somebody and put on courage. What the enemy stole from David, he reclaimed by the power of God. Wives and sons and daughters and flocks and herds. Not only that, but David also took spoil and loot from the Amalekites. He had more, y'all, than he started out with. But David decided, he made a decision to reclaim what was stolen from him. I'm talking to somebody today. Y'all, listen, I had all of my candy stolen. Stripped out of my hand by some neighborhood thugs. I lay there on the ground with tears in my eyes, abandoned by my friends, down and discouraged. But it was another group of fellas, real story, that showed up that I knew and I recognized. That they were like my big brothers, Duck, who lived down the street. His name was Donald Page. That Jesse, we called him Jesse James, that he lived around the corner from us too. They showed up, they saw me sitting there on the ground, they saw me crying, y'all. They helped me up and they said, "What's wrong?" I told them what was wrong, that these boys, they took my candy, y'all, they walked me home. Took me to my mama. One of them looked me in the face, it was Donald. He said, "Listen, before the night is out, you're gonna have your candy back." They asked me, "Which way did the boys go?" No more than 30 to 45 minutes later, y'all, they showed up with a big old bag. Now, it wasn't the bag I had. I don't know what they did that night, y'all. I don't know how they, but they showed up with a big old bag of candy and say, this is for you. They reclaimed for me what had been stolen from me. I want to talk to somebody. You need to reclaim what the devil stole from you. That the enemy seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. That he goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But you need to reclaim some stuff in your life. What did the devil steal from you? Did he steal your joy? You need to get it back. Did he steal your vision? You need to get it back. Your sense of purpose? You need to get it back in the name of Jesus. A happy marriage relationship? Get it back in the name of Jesus. What did the enemy steal from you? You need to reclaim it in the name of Jesus. For some of you, it's your worth and your value. But I believe that with God as our help, we can reclaim whatever the enemy steals from us. And it's all for his glory. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Remember who your God is and put your hope in the Lord. This is the ending of your DIY challenge. Will you do it? Encourage yourself in the Lord. And the church said, amen. Amen, 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 and amen, amen, amen. Perhaps there's someone here today, every head bowed, every eye closed. Perhaps there's someone here today and you're not in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That he wants you to be in relationship with him. God wants you to be in relationship with him. It only happens through relationship with Jesus. That a long time ago in the Garden of Eden, that the devil, the serpent, spoke to a woman. And what was once paradise was destroyed by the devil. But God is reclaiming it for us. And the way he does it is through his son Jesus Christ. That a relationship was broken with God the Father. But in the fullness of time, God sent his son Jesus into the world. He died for the sins of the world. Make it personal, he died for you. He died for, He died for me. If we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus, believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, then we are saved. Doesn't mean that we're perfect. It means that we're in relationship with God the Father through Jesus. If you're here today and you have yet to confess Jesus as Savior, we want you to do that today. As we pray this prayer, if you are a born-again believer already, but you're not connected to a local church, we invite you to make Living Faith Community Church your church home, your church of choice, a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. Father, we thank you for this word that we heard today. Perhaps there's someone here right now that they feel discouraged. They feel down, depressed, and out. It seems like they can find no way out. Father, speak to their hearts right now by your Spirit. Let them know that you, Jesus, you are the way, you are the truth, you are the light. No one comes to the Father but by you. And whatever we need, we can find it in you. Whatever seems to be stolen and taken from our lives, the things that give us a sense of purpose in you, our walk with you, it seems as if it's been stripped from us. Help us to reclaim it in the name of Jesus. We admit that we're all sinners, that we've fallen short of your glory. We've missed the target. That we confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We believe in our hearts, oh God, that you raised him from the dead. And it's only through him can we receive salvation. Speak to hearts right now by the power of your Spirit, we pray. And we thank you and we praise you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you need to have that relationship today. It all boils down to this. Separated from God. We spend an eternity separated from him in hell. Hell is real. We hear the story that heaven is real, hell is too. But when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, it means you have eternal salvation, eternal hope in him, that you'll spend eternity with him. So if you're here today, our ushers are standing in the aisle. Their hands are extended. Won't you follow them to room number one? They'll gather some information from you. We will welcome you with open arms. If you are here today and you are a born-again believer, you're saved already, but you don't have a church home, a church of choice where you worship with other believers, serve with other believers, fellowship with other believers, Living Faith Community Church is a great place to be. So we invite you today to be a part of this body. Won't you follow one of the ushers out to room number one? We'll gather information. We'll welcome you with open arms. We don't rush this moment. Amen.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.